Good morning. The title of my message this morning is Papa God, a Father to the Fatherless. Our scripture verse is Psalm 68, verse 5, which says, Father to the fatherless, defender of widows, this is God whose dwelling is holy. And before we start our lesson, let's bow our heads for prayer. Papa God, I thank you for each one who has come this morning to worship you. Lord, they could have been doing many other things this morning, but they chose to come here to worship you and learn from your word. And I just pray a blessing on each one who is here this morning. I pray that you would give us open ears to hear what you have for us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As a tribute to my dad, I would like to share his favorite joke. I told this joke before, about 9 years ago here, but I think it's worth repeating. It's called My Favorite Animal. Our teacher asked what my favorite animal was, and I said, fried chicken. She said I wasn't funny, but she couldn't have been right because everyone else laughed. My parents told me to always tell the truth. I did. Fried chicken is my favorite animal. I told my dad what happened, and he said my teacher was probably a member of PETA. He said they love animals very much. I do too, especially chicken, pork, and beef. Anyway, my teacher sent me to the principal's office. I told him what happened, and he laughed too. Then he told me not to do it again. The next day in class, my teacher asked me what my favorite live animal was. I told her it was chicken. She asked me why. So I told her it was because you could make them into fried chicken. She sent me back to the principal's office. He laughed and told me not to do it again. I don't understand. My parents taught me to be honest, but my teacher doesn't like it when I am. Today, my teacher asked me to tell her what famous person I admired most. I told her Colonel Sanders. Guess where I am now? I'd like to give a description of my dad, who's no longer living. The first item I have on here was his love for Jesus. His favorite hymn was, My Jesus, I Love Thee. Integrity. He was a man of integrity. He didn't compromise. He was consistent at reading his Bible every day. He was a hard worker. Provided well for his family. He liked to cook. In my opinion, the best homemade pizza I've ever had. He liked eating cold baked beans out of a can. He loved green olives, popped them in his mouth like candy. He had an overwhelming love for my mother. He loved his job. He was a tile installer and a good one. He could repair a tile project, use different tiles, and make the job look like it was original. People used to make comments and say, Don, you're more than a tile mechanic, you're an artist. These are just a few things about my dad. But my dad wasn't perfect. He used to tell me, take the good attributes as an example and throw the bad ones out. I think of my dad just about every day because he taught me the trade of tile work, and that's what I do for a living. Pretty often on the job, I will ask myself the question, what would Dad do? How would he lay out this design, or how would he patch this wall? When he was alive, I could call him on the phone, and he would give me advice. And 9 times out of 10, the advice he gave me was what I was going to do anyway, so I knew that he had taught me well. But when I get into those situations now, I can't ask him for help because he's no longer around. He's with Jesus. So this Father's Day, my heart is grateful and filled with love for a father who loved me and taught me about Jesus. But as I thought about what to give this morning, my heart went out to those who didn't have or are not currently experiencing the same love from their father as I did. I first want to make clear that I'm not suggesting that one type of father is better than another. As fathers, we all have faults. We can all improve in our role as fathers. But I would like to look at 6 different types of fathers in our world today. And there are many more, but I chose these 6 because they have a special meaning to me in some form or another. And I think you'll understand as we go along. So, Father number 1, the never around for his family father. I chose this father for 2 reasons. A few years back, I got into a little bit of truck driving. And I'd make local deliveries, all kinds of different freight. And one day I was backed up to the dock, and there was a over-the-road driver who backed up to the dock next to me, and we started talking. And he said, as soon as I get unloaded, I'm heading to my son's 16th birthday party. He said, the sad part about it is, I don't even know who my son is. He said, he's 16 years old, and I've been on the road so much and never been home, and I don't know who he is. Then he turned to me and he said, take some advice from me. He said, don't get an over-the-road job where you're never home, that you can't be with your family. I'm not saying that it's wrong to drive long distance for your job. The Bible says in 1 Timothy, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. I remember my grandfather working double shift to make ends meet and provide for his family. He was away from home a lot, but still made time for his family and us grandchildren. The second reason I chose this father is because of a song that was written. I grew up listening to music from the 70s and 80s, and in 1974 there was a song by Harry Chapman called Cats in the Cradle. This song has been used in many a sermon, and it's not a religious song, but it has a powerful message. And I'd like to read the lyrics. Says, my child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away. And he was talking before I knew it, and as he grew, he'd say, I'm going to be like you, Dad. You know I'm going to be like you. And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon, Little Boy Blue and the Man on the Moon. When you coming home, Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then. My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? I said, not today. I got a lot to do. He said, that's okay. And he walked away, but his smile never dimmed, and said, I'm going to be like him. Yeah, you know I'm going to be like him. And the cats in the cradle, and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you coming home, Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then. Well, he came from college just the other day. So much like a man, I just had to say, son, I'm proud of you. Can you sit for a while? He shook his head and then said with a smile, what I'd really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later. Can I have them, please? And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon, when you coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. Dad, you know we'll have a good time then. I've long since retired. My son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I could find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle, and the kids got the flu. But it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon, when you coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. Dad, we're going to have a good time then. I remember thinking to myself when my kids were very young that I didn't want to be the man in this song. My advice to young fathers is a simple one. Don't be the man in this song. Father number two is the no longer around father. I chose this type of father because my father is no longer around. My dad died quickly. It was a Sunday morning. In fact, I was sitting in Sunday school class here at this church when I got the call from my sister. My mom told me that he was sitting in his chair waiting for her as she got ready for church. He loves Sunday school. He never wanted to be late for Sunday school. He asked her if she was ready to go. She said, yes, I'm ready. As they walked out the door to get into the car, my dad collapsed in the driveway and died. I looked back at this and realized what a blessing it was. Number one, my dad didn't have to suffer. And number two, the Lord took him before he got into the car. If he had died a few minutes later, he would have run off the road and possibly killed someone else. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Fathers, make sure your heart is right with God, because you may go quickly. The one regret that I have with my dad's passing is the fact that I didn't get to say goodbye. But because of Jesus, I have hope that I will see him again one day. Father number three is the verbally abusive father. I chose this type of father because my mind often thinks of a good friend of mine who, growing up, tried to please her father. But no matter what she did in life, whether it was school or work at home, whatever she did, in her father's eyes, it was never good enough. And he told her so. Ephesians 6:4 says, And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. My friend grew up, got her degree, became very successful in the workforce, but it was because of her hard work, not from any encouragement from her father. Father number four is the physically abusive father, including sexual abuse. I chose this type of father because although I never experienced this, I know that it is prevalent in our world today and much more than we realize. When I prepare for a message, I give my thoughts to Siri on my phone for her to remind me what to jot down later on paper. One particular day, I was relaying my wording to her, and she would not relay the words into my reminder category on my phone. Instead, she suggested that if I was being abused, to seek help immediately or call 911. She did. I'm in agreement with Siri. If you are experiencing physical abuse of any kind, tell someone you trust about it and seek help. Father number five is the depressed father. I chose this type of father because of my brother-in-law, who was bipolar and suffered from depression. My brother-in-law was probably the most outspoken for Jesus Christian that I have ever seen. But he was mentally unwell at times. And we don't talk about that much in church circles today. When we are sick physically, we run to the doctor to get medicine so that we can get better. And if medicine doesn't work, then we seek God and pray for healing. In my mind, it should be the other way around. When someone is depressed, we say, oh, just pray about it. Jesus can make it better. Or you're not praying hard enough. I believe that God can heal without the use of doctors, no doubt whatsoever in my mind. But I also believe that God uses doctors to heal and or treat physical and mental issues through medication. My brother-in-law took his own life, leaving my sister without a husband and my nephew, who was a baby at the time, without a father. If you are experiencing depression of any kind, talk to Papa God about it. He is familiar with depression. The God of the universe suffered from depression at least once in his 33 years on earth. He can identify. He knows all about it. It's found in Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 33. You can look it up. You can also talk to your pastor or trusted friend. Our final father, number six, is the alcoholic father. I chose this type of father because Becky's grandfather was an alcoholic. I used to work part-time for my father-in-law before I ever married his youngest daughter. We had many conversations about his childhood. He grew up in the streets of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. He watched as a young boy, his father physically beat his mother. He told me he would stand between the two of them in order to keep his mother from being hit. Until at the age of nine, he couldn't take it anymore. And in his words, he said, "Steve, I ran away from home at the age of 9 years old and never went back." And that was true. In talking with Becky's older sister, she informed me that he entered into a fresh air program and never went back home. He was taken in by a Mennonite farmer in Mannheim, Pennsylvania, and stayed with that family until he married my mother-in-law. In 1944, at the age of 11, his foster parents took him to a week-long tent revival meeting. He told me that the Holy Spirit was speaking to his heart that week, but he didn't have the courage to go forward. You see, he was sitting with his buddies and was worried what they would think. On the last night, the invitation to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior was once again given. My father-in-law said that he turned around to look at his foster father, and he said there was tears rolling down his cheeks. And he said, "Steve, I knew that I had to go forward and give my heart to Jesus." The next few years went by, and he became more involved in the church youth group, where he met and eventually married Naomi Brubaker from Mount Joy, Pennsylvania. I tell you this story this morning because I am a blessed man. You see, I have a wonderful wife of 34 years who I love very much, who has put up with me for 34 years. I couldn't ask for a better helpmate. She in turn gave me three young boys who are now grown young men who I am extremely proud of. And yes, I use the word proud. I think you know what I mean. Within the past 2 years, I have gained a beautiful daughter-in-law, a wonderful addition to our family. And within the last 4 months, have gained a granddaughter, which I can't even put into words how I feel about that. Becky keeps using the word smitten. She says, "I'm smitten." I think she's right. I am the recipient of all these blessings that I have mentioned, all because an 11-year-old boy went forward at a revival service in 1944 and gave his heart to Jesus. I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus makes a difference in the life of an individual. Instead of following the same road of his earthly father, my father-in-law embraced Papa God instead. I'd like for us to turn to Galatians 3, verse 26. It's found on page 939 in your Bible in front of you. Page 939. Galatians 3, starting at verse 26. It says, "For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ," like putting on new clothes. "There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you." Think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up, even though they actually own everything their father had. They have to obey their guardians until they reach whatever age their father set. And that's the way it was with us before Christ came. We were like children. We were slaves to the basic spiritual principles of this world. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father, or Papa. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. Papa God, it's a personal relationship with God the Father. The Bible makes it clear that we have to repent of our sins and accept God's gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, making him Lord of our life, in order to be adopted as his child and have the right to call God Papa. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only way to Papa God. In closing, if your earthly father is or was never around for you, or is no longer around, or maybe he was or is verbally abusive, maybe he was or is physically abusive, maybe your father is suffering from depression, maybe he's having trouble with alcohol, or maybe you have a good relationship with your father, or maybe you are a father hearing this message and you feel as though you can identify with one or more of the father characters that I mentioned and would desire to change your way of living. I would encourage you to repent of your sin, make Jesus Lord of your life, embrace Papa God. He's the father of the fatherless, defender of widows. This is Papa God whose dwelling is holy. I guarantee you he will make a difference in your life. Let's stand for prayer. Papa God, I thank you once again for each one who's here who made an effort to come out this morning. I just pray for the message that you gave us this morning, Lord, that you would help us to take it to heart. I just pray that you would be with us this coming week. Help us, Lord, to honor you in all that we do and say. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.